back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It takes a while to get fishing right. It might even take 95 years or so. SDPP's Kevin Wooster went fishing with a special friend, and he writes about it online at sdpp.org/Wooster. He's joining us today on the phone. Hey, Kevin, welcome.
I'm so happy to talk fishing sometimes. As a break from all the other stuff going on. Although I really loved your session with Palmerschein, and not just the legal and historical background, but the poem by Joy Harjo. That's, as I said on Twitter, public radio didn't get much better than Frank Palmerschein reading Joy Harjo with Lori Walsh on At the Moment. Come on, that's as good as it gets. Let's just quit right there.
Okay, Twitter, you can all quit today because that's all we need to know about today, right?
Yep. One of my highlights of the day. I'm set. I can't lose today now. So thank you.
No one can take that away from us. Joy Harjo was on this program as well when she came through South Dakota as U.S. Poet Laureate.
Absolutely.
And that was
a great
honor to talk to her.
I'm sure that was a bigger thrill for you even than it was for me, and I was thrilled just to listen to her. and also thrilled to sit next to a 100-year-old, soon-to-be 101-year-old bluegill fisherman with his EBCO in her hand on a hot day in the Burke County stock along a Burke area stock dam just southwest of town. So that was a thrill,
And lucky for us that you're less concerned about catching fish and more concerned about bringing home that story because you went fishing with Eunice. And tell us about her.
Well, I took a lot of fishing gear that never made it out of my SUV, sat right there. Mm-hmm. Because once I sat down in the little red folding chair next to her red folding chair along Dave Steffens Dam with a couple other buddies standing around, it was hard to leave that spot, hard to stop listening to a woman that's going to be 101 at the end of August. And when you ask somebody, so how long have you been fishing? And they say 95 years. I'm impressed. I'm impressed in fishing ways. And that was one of the more impressive things. And she loves it as much as ever. She's a widow. Didn't have children. She did. She and her husband were very active in the outdoors. Her husband Dick had a sports shop there in Burke, and sold sporting goods and firearms and fishing gear. And so she grew up in that environment out there. She grew up fishing with her dad and then with her husband. And after her husband passed on, as these things always seem to go in small towns, and maybe in larger cities too, but it's so obvious in small towns that they happen, somebody picked up that role of going fishing with Eunice. And it's a multiple somebody, but one guy in particular that's there for her a lot. So he was there, Dwayne Davis, and I was lucky to be there.
And she has preferences about where she goes as far as she's not quite like you. She's not, going to be not concerned with what she hauls in.
And it's funny. It's funny to watch Dave, who said both of them said that. The owner, Dave Steffen, who has also known her, I think he told me, since he was first grade, second grade, something like that. And Dwayne, who does the shuttle work and the help with the worms and things like that, and also answers her complaints when things aren't going the way she thinks they should be, wondering if this was the right spot to come today. And Dwayne said there are other spots that they go, but she loves Dave Steffens Dam the best. And so when things are not going well at those places, it's usually Dwayne's fault that he decided to take her to the wrong place that day. What's that?
I said fair enough. She's not wrong, right?
No, I mean it is. It's a great dam, and it was designed by Dave, who's a land steward, and he spent a lifetime in Soil Conservation Service, working with land restoration and working with native grass preservation and reintegration to the environment. He's done a lot of that work. And this dam is in the middle of a lot of that work, and it was designed for fish and for fishing and for conservation. and it's a really fine largemouth bass and bluegill dam. And she loves to catch the largemouth, but even on a hot, slow day when just tiny little bluegills, and these are fish that the size of your hand or a little smaller that were biting that day, a lot smaller in a couple of cases, she just sits there with the focus of a tournament bass fisherman watching that bobber to move. And been doing it for 95 years.
Yeah. What changes with, is it just the same? I mean, take me back to when she was or when you were a child. Like, does the technology change? What stays the same and what shifts?
My fishing has changed dramatically. I started out with a little Zepco, my first reel, the little closed face Zepco that most kids start out with. It's been around forever. I went to all kinds of, as my wife would tell you, the basement stuffed with different kinds of rods and reels and the expensive stuff and not so expensive, but a lot of pretty expensive stuff. And I don't know what, and that's a great question that I should follow up with and see if Eunice remembers what she started with. I assume it was a cane pole. I assume, because that's what most of us fished with at one time or another. And maybe an old bait casting reel, and then eventually to Zebcos, which came, they were certainly going in the late 50s when I started fishing. And she fishes with a Zebco. So the her favorite rod and reel outfit is an old fiberglass rod, not the old fancy graphite, and it's an old Zebco reel. It looks like it's been around for half a century or more. And that's her favorite. She's got others, but that's what she fishes with. So while I have gone far from my Zebco days and my start, she hasn't gone very far from that, and from a bobber and from a little piece of worm and a focus that at 100 years old has not seemed to weaken a bit.
Well, what do you talk about?
Well, I ask her some questions about her years as a substitute teacher and what kids were like. She liked middle school kids, even though she said a lot of kids, people didn't like them because they were kind of unruly. She thought they were entertaining. And based on what I hear about her, she was tough enough to deal with that because she was also a sheriff's department dispatcher and actually filled the role of a deputy sometimes when it came to transports and things like that, and told me a story about putting a dead body in a bag and some of the other things that she had to do. And she was a writer, so we got onto that. She did what we used to call community columns or the small papers, the weeklies particularly, would have people around their coverage area who would just write about things going on, from birthday parties to fishing trips to storms to medical problems, whatever. And she did that for Mitchell Daily Republic, for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader, for the Rapid City Journal, for the Omaha World Herald, and she even did a little stringing for the United Press International for a while. So, we had that to talk about. And she has an expanded vocabulary in many areas. As I at one point, she didn't like her cast, and she said, "Oh shoot!" And Dwayne whispered to me, "Oh, she's watching her language today." He said, "Because she knows all the fishing words. I can tell you that much."
That sounds like a very good day and a good reminder for all of us to step away from some of the more contentious news in the world and maybe just take a walk down to the water. Not so bad.
Yeah, that was great.
What are some of the other things that you are following, though? Because let's talk a little bit about what's happening in Gettysburg with efforts to rally around the flag, but it's the Confederate flag.
Well, I minded my own business out there having a good day on the water yesterday. Out at Newell Lake, and I'm going to be doing some writing about what we were doing out there. But I heard a comment, first of all, from Senator Thune about the Supreme Court nominee that could happen if there's an opening. And, you know, hopefully that everybody in the court will be healthy for the future. But so that kind of jarred me about what may happen if that happens. And then I got home, and one of my friends had been texting me, and I've been ignoring him, which I do when I'm out and about often, about this Gettysburg thing, because he has roots in Gettysburg. He's very upset about it. And we've all, I'm sure, if we followed the police patch, the emblem that they've had over there, the uniform patch and the Confederate flag and the fuss over that. And they seemed always there to be heading in the right direction the last time I paid attention to it, which you know, for to me, the right direction is to get rid of the patch and the emblem. And now apparently there's a guy that's trying to start a movement and rather rally the Confederate troops, so to speak, the online people and people with Confederate flags to show up at a rally over there. And I only know what I've seen on Facebook, but it's disturbing, and I'm concerned about it. And it's one of those shocking things when you come back feeling relaxed and realize, oh, that's right, the world is still doing what the world's been doing.
Right. And that is coming up this weekend in Gettysburg.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And it's, as I look at the Facebook page, it's a little vague as far as why, other than, you know, bring your Confederate flags, wave them from motorcycle, car, truck, bicycle, or walking. You know, you're needed. We're sick and tired of watching our country be destroyed. Everything is being named and tore down, and this stops today. So, part of a broader effort, I guess. Yeah.
And I don't know that there's anybody in Gettysburg that's welcoming this, right? Because this guy was kind of reaching out to people in Gettysburg, tell me if you want this, if you support me, or, and I don't know what kind of feedback he's getting, but I would think that most, the vast majority, overwhelming majority of people in Gettysburg, this was the last thing that they want after things are kind of starting to settle down there over this.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see if people arrive. They say on the Facebook page there's a District 23 candidate who will be speaking, and bring your tent and such. So it'll be interesting to see how that sort of unfolds and what people say out there in the park for or against that patch in Gettysburg, South Dakota, which seemed like a done story, but maybe is not so much.
Well, and somebody said to me, why aren't you going to cover that? And I'm at a stage where, first of all, I think it's going to be hot, and get to Gettysburg. I have to change some plans. But I have to admit, sometimes I just don't feel if that's going to happen. I don't, in the old days, I would have loved being there in the middle of it. I'm not sure I want to be in the middle of it. I have to think about that.
Because you have an opportunity to go fishing with a variety of fascinating peoples. Yeah.
And these things, controversy isn't as appealing to me as it used to be. And these kinds of controversies are so saddening to me now, and I guess in my older age, that sometimes I don't have the emotional strength to face them face to face. That's a sign of weakness, maybe, in age, but it's a reality.
I'm not sure about weakness, but Kevin Wooster, you can find his weakness, wisdom, stage of life. I'm not sure. We will pontificate off the air. You can find his work online at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Of course.